about to talk. Here we go. He said he living life as a gringo. Where you question where you fit in every time you mingle. They say you do this with not enough that. My rapping is really bad. This life as a gringo.
Yes, welcome to another episode of Life as a Gringo. I am Dramos, of course, and I'm very excited because we're doing our Thursday trends today, and I have a very special guest helping me out with that. She is an incredible singer-songwriter who just premiered her latest single, My Abuela, as part of the Grammys Press Play series. Flores, how you feeling?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. Where are you? First of all, where are you coming to us from?
I live in Norway.
All the way on the other side of the world. How are things in Norway? What is it like? Is it morning or nighttime over there?
It's nighttime.
Well, I appreciate you hopping on. We're gonna dive into some headlines from these last this last week or so. We're gonna tackle a few things like honoring someone who's made incredible strides for our community in Hollywood. So something positive, of course. But before that, we're also going to take a bit of a deep dive into some trending headlines that include maybe some rough breakups, people taking wokeness a bit too far, and maybe even some controversial and, I don't know, some are saying racist music video from one of the biggest names in Latin music. As well as our president maybe going back on some promises he made. We're going to get into all that stuff. Don't be scared. We're just going to have a nice little conversation. And we'll do that deep dive in a segment we call For the People in the Back.
Say it louder for the people in the back. Back. Say it louder for the people in the back.
All right, so let's start with A-Rod and J-Lo. I'm assuming at this point you're very much familiar with the fact that they're no longer together.
Yes, I am.
are you heartbroken over this? I know some people get really invested over like certain celebrity relationships.
No, I'm not heartbroken because every time that I saw them on like social media, he was always like on his phone. And she's so beautiful, and she'd be like in the mirror to me, and he'd be like, and I was like, "What? You're in front of greatness here. Why are you on your phone?"
So see that is a great point, and always leave it to a woman to be able to pick up on some red flags that just go totally over my head, which I love there. So obviously she has moved on, but it seems like people don't want to let him kind of heal in peace almost. And this last week, as he was just trying to talk some baseball during the American League Championship Series, he was out in Boston, and fans used that as an opportunity to basically just like troll the living shit out of him. And they were taking verbal jabs at him, chanting J-Lo and chanting "She Left You" with Ben Affleck. One guy yelled, "Hey A-Rod, what's your favorite Ben Affleck movie?" And this has me thinking, I mean, obviously, celebrity relationships are on a whole different level, right? Like, you can't, like, once that breakup happens, you guys are celebrities, you can't really escape it. But I am curious for you, have you ever gone through a really, like, rough breakup that you just keep having to, like, you know, run into that person, or they're just in your circle and you just keep having to deal with them after the fact?
Yeah, for sure. I think we've all probably been there where you're just like praying you don't see them, and then right. You're just like dressing up every day because you're like, I will not be caught looking all tirada in front of like my ex. Right. No, I'm doing good. Like, and then you never see him, but you've tried so hard to look good for 6 months. So yeah, I have been there.
Right.
But it's different with celebrities because like the media is like there all the time.
Right, right. And are you, I mean, the thing is when it comes to breakups, I mean, when that happens to you, do you kind of just play it off like you're totally cool, or do you try to avoid the person?
I just try to avoid it because you get sucked back in, you know? He's just like, no,
right.
I'm done. When I'm done.
See, I like that's a good phase because there's a lot of people, and I believe that they call it backsliding, right? Like where you kind of like every time you run into them, maybe you're out at like the bar or something like that. You see them and you just end up going back into like this whole circle of it never really ending. And I'm with you. I've always been the type like, listen, once it's done, like I am done with that. But I've also seen plenty of my friends get caught in that backslide, if you will.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's it depends. I guess if you leave like mutually, you guess you could be friends. But I'm
right.
I don't know. I'm not okay with like being friends with exes sort of thing. You have to, right? Like, why?
Yeah, exactly. And I talked about this on a previous podcast episode where I didn't understand how people can still be friends with your ex. I don't think it's healthy. And I don't think it's like, oh, you know, you're not properly moving on, in my opinion, if you're still kind of keeping them around for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's like a demotion. And then you're like, oh, you know, but you can still be around. You know?
Right. That's a great way to put it. I've never heard it put that way. It's like a demotion. That is really good. I wish I would have heard that from you when I recorded that episode. That is such a great a great term. All right, and on to something else that is just a bit wacky. We had Demi Lovato saying that the term aliens is derogatory towards extraterrestrials, and I believe she was doing something for the television station E. She said, and I quote, "My fans should know that I do not call them aliens." And she said, "because alien is a derogatory term for anything, even extraterrestrials, which is why I call them ETs," end quote.
Stay woke.
Okay. I think I heard this. Yeah.
Are we getting a little too woke in today's world, do you think? Are we taking it a bit too far?
In some ways, yeah, mm-hmm. But in other ways, no. It depends. I think this is maybe she means well.
Right. I will break down what you mean then, like the difference. And in some ways, how are we? And in other ways, how are we not?
I think there's a lot of gatekeeping around certain things, you know, and I think some people can be really sensitive about stuff that maybe doesn't necessarily have to be so, like I heard that like gringo was considered like a negative term towards white people, and we shouldn't say that term because it's derogatory.
Sure.
But it's like, you know, if we were to like count up how many derogatory things that our parents told us, you know, like vaga or something, it's like,
yeah,
we don't think it so personally.
Exactly. And it's funny because I get called, I'm Puerto Rican, but I still get called gringo by my family back home. So it's almost me like poking fun back at them. But yeah, I think there are a lot of things because there will be some people who are like, how could you even call yourself a gringo? You know what I mean? Like, that's so offensive that you're even, you know, kind of taking that terminology. But yeah, I mean, at some point you just kind of have to like laugh certain things off, right? Like, as long as there's no malice or ill will behind it.
Yeah. And I think alien has become like, they call like Mexicans who cross the border illegal aliens. And that's obviously, you know, derogatory. So it's like there's a clear reason why that shouldn't be acceptable.
Right.
But does it mean for extraterrestrials? I don't know, really. We don't know yet.
Right. So. Well, it's almost like it leads to this idea of like, we're seeing so much like fake pandering happening. You know what I mean? I think that and we've seen it with a lot of like companies, I'll say bigger corporations who are always like, you know, we proudly support this community just because it's like a trendy topic. We're seeing it with like in the Latin space and all these like fake towards, you know, sort of things that they're doing to pander and pretend like they actually give a damn about Latinos, you know. I think at some point it just becomes like, OK, we're almost becoming a parody of like what the intention of all of this was, you know.
I think it can be really like if it goes too far, it can kind of minimalize what we're intention of being woke is.
Right.
Right. It takes it too far sometimes.
Yeah.
And I also think for like Miley,
Demi.
Who are we talking about? I'm thinking Miley.
Yeah. Started. They're all kind of one and the same, unfortunately. But yeah, Demi. Yeah.
Demi Lovato. Yes, I was thinking Froyo. Because like, if you saw that Froyo rant.
She said,
I feel like she's going through something.
Right, right. And that's the other thing. I think that this is probably more of a reflection of something that she is going through or dealing with rather than maybe like a real belief system, because yeah, that Froyo thing was just kind of like, okay, I like, you can't expect the owners of a frozen yogurt shop to like be, you know, planning that somebody who has, you know, a really tough time with an eating disorder is going to be coming through the doors and something might be a trigger to them. Like, it just doesn't, it's not realistic. You know what I'm saying? That, like, a person outside of her could think about that.
Yeah, no, I agree. But that's why I think when I heard that, her say that, I was like, oh no, here she goes. She's going on a rant about,
right,
like, legal rights or what we should call extraterrestrial.
Right, right.
So I just think it's funny.
I mean, yeah, this one is definitely silly, but, and I want to move on to one in the music space that actually has to do with, like, a music video. And this one, I think there actually is some sort of a point here. I'm not sure if you've heard kind of about the controversy about J Balvin's new video that he has with the Dominican artist Tokisha. It's called Perra is the name of the song. And then they have a video that got taken down. I'm not sure if you've seen this one yet.
I have.
Okay, so for anybody that is not familiar with this one, in the video, J Balvin holds the leashes of two black women who are made up to look like dogs while he walks them on all fours. And there's also many other black or dark-skinned people that are made up to look like dogs throughout the video. They say the lyrical content is to be about, like, the rowdy sex lives of dogs, but the visuals that they put out there, a bit problematic. I mean, as an artist yourself and then seeing this, I mean, what kind of is your, like, initial knee-jerk reaction?
I think when I saw it, I love Tokisha. I think she's amazing. And yeah, I love Alvin, but, like, right, he has some sketchy stuff in the past. Like,
yes. Cool. Yeah.
But I just didn't think he'd do something like that. Like, when you think of making a music video, there's so many people involved. Like, it has, right, to go through so many people. And I'm like, how it went through editors, it went through the directors and like production people and PR. And like, how did anyone not say, like, this doesn't seem like a really good, right, idea to walk black women like,
right,
animals in chains? Like, I.
Yeah.
Super racist, super cringe. And I mean, I don't know how you can call that artistry in a way. Sure. Oh, maybe it's critical to say, but it's like colorism is real in our society.
Right. And,
you know, I know that Tokisha is a lighter skinned black woman.
Sure.
So she would be more elevated on the scale of, you know, that caste system.
Of course.
And it was very, like, clear who was at the bottom of this music video. And
yeah,
I know everybody wants to cancel him and stuff like that, and rightfully so,
right,
but I mean, I just was like, I was really appalled, actually. Really.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't believe in necessarily canceling somebody, because I think we all do make mistakes. I believe, I mean, listen, if there's, like, you do something ridiculous, like, you know, like that is unforgivable, of course, you know, canceling. But I think in something like this, There is a teachable moment in it. But I think also for me, as some, I mean, I like J Balvin, I really do, but you're right, he does have certain questionable things that in the past he has done. And to me, for somebody who's been on the global stage for so long, who has been a part of American kind of, like, music culture for so long, and by, you know, and just by being a part of that, you're going to kind of understand some of the societal nuances that go along with, like, what's happening specifically in America right now. Yeah. You know, especially over this last year, like, there's no way you can get away from it. You know, it's hard to give him the benefit of the doubt that he kind of was just ignorant to it. You know what I mean? Like, and it sucks, because it's like, on the flip side of that, then you're sort of believing that he deep down inside just does not give a shit about anything at all, except for, you know, what he feels like doing, and really maybe has some of those, you know, racism buried somewhere deep inside him. It's tough. I struggle with this one, especially it being somebody that I genuinely, like, you know, am a fan of, or have been a fan of.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. I feel the same way. I love J Balvin. I just, you know, before and early in his career, I didn't know that he'd said a lot of these things.
Right.
And I guess because I was mortified, I was like, what the hell did I just see? And of course, he's, right, not a black man. So it's,
right,
it's just disturbing, like, you know, in our communities, especially, have a lot of anti-blackness, especially, sure, like Mexico, Latin America. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, even in Latin music, especially reggaeton, it tends, yeah, to be very, like, whitewashed. When, yeah, I was listening to reggaeton, it was like, my mother would be like, you cannot listen to this. This is
right,
like,
right,
and bows, like the stuff that you listen to in the street houses or whatever. So it was like, you know, and now it's become this like really popularized pop music, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of lost a lot of like what I remember it to be when I was younger. So I kind of feel like there's already issues around that. And then you do something like this and it's just like, how far back are we? Because I feel in America, we're very progressed, like in race, but Latin America is like still like 50 years behind. And like, you know, like you can't talk about people, like specifically Black people, you know, they were slaves too in Latin America. So,
It's very much a part of the history of Latin America, just like it is in the United States. So it's not, you can't be aware of it. And I think a lot of people got more frustrated because it got taken down, but it was like quietly taken down. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he came out and addressed it, you know, and that was kind of that. It was like, all right, we're just going to like not tell anybody and not say anything, but we're going to quietly take it down. So it is like that lack of remorse that almost it's like, man, like, is there really something more insidious behind this person that we've kind of been holding up as like one of the figureheads of our community as far as the music space goes?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think we, like I said, I don't think we progressively see even, and I love these artists, you know, from Spain and stuff, but I also noticed how like artists from Spain can inject themselves into Black music, especially specifically reggaeton, and just part of it because they have like a lot of like name to them or clout or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And I feel like, especially people like Black people should be protective of their space and to who they let in, because it's like they made this genre. This is their genre. They're the ones who should be at the top of the game, you know, like in America with like Jay-Z or Ye. It's like, you know what I mean? And I kind of feel like when I see it, I think because we're American and we see this, because we're, I think we're woker in that sense. So it's like a system, right? It must be just the whole system, like the, from the record label to the consumer. It's just upholding a whole system of like inequality.
Yeah.
It is that deep.
it is true. I mean, shit, you look at the media, like Latin media, you know, in this country is like, it's mostly white, you know, looking people, white looking Latinos, you know what I mean? Like that are the ones that are chosen, or like, you know, women who dye their hair blonde to be more closely associated with whiteness. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what's elevated in our culture. And I guess it shouldn't be a shocker that the music is also going to be reflective of that as well.
Yeah, no, I know. I see that a lot too, but it's sad, I think too, because it erases like a whole group of people that make up the majority of you know, and then you never see yourself in the mirror. And as an artist, that's what I think is so important. Like representation is so important for young women, you know? So, I mean, this is a great time for representation, but still, I feel like Latin music still has a long way to go before everybody just like gets with it, you know?
Yeah. On that note, let's take a quick break and we'll have more Flores when we come back. All right, we are back. And speaking of people who aren't necessarily getting with it yet, I do want to touch on one last thing, because I know that this is also probably close to your heart as well. And that is what's happening with Mexico and the border, you know, and all that we're seeing. And it was reported that President Biden is actually reinstating a Trump policy regarding those who migrate to the Mexican border. And for anybody that's not familiar, I'm just going to quickly kind of go through what it is. But former President Trump, his Remain in Mexico policy, which was known as the Migrant Protection Protocols. It was described as a cruel and inhumane policy that was put into place. It was rules that forced, you know, some of the most vulnerable people out there who were just seeking asylum in the U.S. that they had to wait out their legal process on the Mexican side of the border. And this is like border camps and migrant detention centers and like border towns that people describe as like some of the most dangerous places in Mexico. When it comes to, you have cartels and the coyotes and how they take advantage of the migrants and the refugees who are just waiting on the Mexican side of the border. And now President Biden, who campaigned on promising to end this U.S. policy, his administration is now planning to restart it. They're saying as soon as next month. Now, there's been a bit of a cleanup. Some people are saying that Biden had no choice in this, that it was actually done by Trump's elected federal judge who ordered the administration essentially to reinstate this policy. And it's not a reflection of his beliefs per se. Okay, so let's break. I feel like for me at the start of it is that it's incredibly sad that in 2021, people still seem to have so much lack of compassion when it comes to people of color and essentially what America was kind of, you know, founded upon, the idea that it was founded upon. I mean, for you, this, you know, is this touches your ancestry. You know what I mean? So how do you feel hearing the news like something like this is going to be back in effect?
I'm really passionate about this. It's what my whole project is about. Because I grew up right on the border, so you can see the border wall from my house.
Sure.
And I grew up with it like there. So it's very psychological, the effect that it has on you when you see a wall and between two people that are the same. We're the same.
Right.
And yet we're different because the government says so.
Right.
And they always say that they're going, they use the politicians, whether the Democrats or the Republicans, because they're predominantly white people.
Right.
They always say and use it as a political talking point. They're like, oh, we're going to do this. The Democrats will placate to like Mexican people. We're going to get you, you know, this or that. And then they vote for a man like Biden. I voted for Biden.
Sure.
And then you have Kamala Harris saying, do not come, which is bullshit, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Royal ass bullshit, because she lied on camera and said that she was going to help these people. And they were in my city in 2019 when I went home and they were placed underneath a bridge just out in the open in the middle of like terrible exposure to the weather. And like, we went to a protest, me and my mother, but there were more people at the baseball game in El Paso, which is like 80% Mexican people. Okay.
Sure.
Then at the protest, it was just like white people at the protest from like New Mexico and stuff. And I'm like, why don't we give a shit? Like, our people literally don't care about our people because they see them differently. And border is really divisive. It's people get really nasty when they start to talk about like they need to do it the legal way. And it's like, there's no way to do it the legal way when you don't have money and you don't have access. You can't pay for a lawyer, someone to bring you over. Like, it's not easy. And in my opinion, I don't think there should be a border. But then you have Obama who just said, like, he said that open borders are not sustainable. And I'm like, well, open borders have been sustainable for 50, 60,000 years. Why is it now? Because, you know, the people who, the colonizers, as they say.
Sure, sure. No, and that, I mean, that's a fact. Texas wasn't even, you know what I mean? Like, the irony is you're keeping them out of somewhere that was literally a part of their country beforehand. Like, it just doesn't make sense. 100%. It is the colonizer mentality.
Yeah. And here in Europe, it's like everybody's white here, pretty much.
Yeah.
And they have something called Schengen. And that means that if you live within the European Union, you are free to travel wherever the hell you want to. If you live here, you can live in Paris. You don't need a green card. You just need to have your card. And I'm like, why isn't it like that in Latin America and America? And it's specifically because the colonial state says, no, we can't have poor brown immigrants here. They're just like, they can work here, but they got to go back. They can't stay.
You know? Right.
So I'm very like passionate about that. The remain in Mexico is obviously like just, it's painful because it's like these people don't deserve that. You know, we're not a country that is, that supports that. Apparently we're supposed to be like a country of immigrants, but we don't allow immigrants. I just think, but it is sad. You know, I don't know if I'll change it or anybody else will change it because, you know, I think they're going to try harder to make it way more difficult to be on the border. And a lot of people don't know what's going on in the border. I took a road trip out to Texas to go filming in the middle of Texas, and they don't need a border on the Chihuahua Desert anymore. They have this big, giant, like, blimp, and it's like Big Brother, and it's able to scan hundreds of miles in radius, and it can sense heat, so it knows if there's any human bodies.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because they don't need a border, and that's what the border is going to look like in the future. This border that they have is just for show. What they really have along the border is this giant blimp, And people don't know what that means, because if you don't think that they'll put that in your city one day.
Right, right.
That might wind up one day. You know, we have to, we really have to pay attention is the way I see it, because there are some scary things happening in Texas that a lot of people don't know about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. And it's funny because I was talking about this on another episode where I was like, the idea of like the whole go back to where you came from only usually applies to brown people. And obviously like now when you're seeing things like, you know, Haiti and places like that, but like it doesn't apply to Italians. It doesn't apply to Irish people. You know what I mean? Who like it's like this forgotten history on purpose where they have the nerve to tell you to go back to where you came from. Yet literally their ancestors are not from here. You know what I'm saying? Like, we actually have closer roots to here than they do. You know what I'm saying? So it's just really fun. And it just goes to show you that nobody bats an eye about it. It's not some, like a point that's even brought up popularly. And it's just because we've just been like ingrained into thinking like, yeah, you're right. Like, they don't belong here, brown people. They don't belong, you know, in our country.
Yeah. And that started around 1924, I think, when they changed the immigration policies on the border. Sure. Because they were really focusing on eugenics, because they wanted to like perpetuate a white race, which the Spanish didn't want to do that. The Spanish were like, hey, we're all one big happy family, let's integrate or whatever. Mm. But it just so happens the British colonials and these colonial people decided that they would not have brown people because they're lesser than, like lesser intelligent, less of a human being. So I think the whole border talk, especially with Trump, you know, was very dehumanizing. Mm-hmm. Like we're cockroaches almost. That's what it feels like
sometimes. Absolutely. Yeah, that's what we're spoken about. Like,
exactly. And I kind of feel like specifically Mexicans, I'm not sure why, but I always like, as growing up, heard the term dirty Mexican. Mm-hmm. And you're like, why is that? Why does that stick with us?
Right.
Like, you learn a lot through history about why we're called this or why these things are kind of employed. But it's all a way to kind of tell people, be scared. Be scared of us, you know. Maybe they are scared of us repopulating the land again. I think sometimes. Right. That's
what I think there's a fear of losing power for sure and being the dominant sort of race. I mean, and a lot of it is all propaganda. Like, it's like, oh, they're taking our jobs. You know, like they used to say that kind of stuff about black people as well. And then eventually over time, it just became about, you know, people from Latin America are the ones that are taking our jobs, you know, or, you know, oh, they're going to like take our job because they're working for less. But nobody is like, well, how about we hold the corporations responsible who are, you know, paying people lower, willing to pay people lower wages, you know what I'm saying? And it creates this, you know what I'm saying? But nobody wants to hold the actual people in charge responsible for like the fuckery that they're doing.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And they're the only ones that get to walk away from crimes that they've committed. It's like, but you know what? I swear, like, history has like 9 themes, you know? They can literally keep using, be scared of the invading immigrant, the brown person, and people are like, oh my God, you clutch your pearls and stuff. And they can do that forever. Like, these politicians, you'd think that we'd get smarter somehow, but we haven't, I feel like, as a species. We're still like right in the
in like this barbaric phase of like our evolution, which doesn't make any sense. And then even to your point about like being at the protest and that it was a lot of white people and a lot of Mexicans were at the baseball game. Like, it's like we have this type of thing where we're like, all right, I made it now, like fuck the rest of you, figure it out. You know what I'm saying? And it's really terrible. And especially, and I say that as a light-skinned Puerto Rican, and Puerto Ricans are the most privileged of like of Latinos because we're natural born citizens, right? So like, this doesn't affect us technically speaking on the personal level that it would someone like yourself, but that doesn't mean we can't be empathetic to it. It doesn't mean that we could recognize that it's wrong and we should use our voices to stand up for it, you know? And I think a lot of that stuff is by design, where we're all kind of like divided, like, okay, I'm Puerto Rican, you're Mexican, what your issues are have nothing to do with me, so let me stay quiet in my area and like just focus on what I need to do over here, you know? And it's really sad, the divisiveness that happens within our own community as a whole.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of people were talking about the Texas Ranger guys, you know, with the Haitians that are now real. Yeah. And it's like, most of those guys are Mexican Americans. Mm. Like, it's not, you just got a picture of a white guy, but like 90% of them are Mexican Americans. Like, they just think that like they're better. I think it's really, really messed up. There's a strange thing that happens, I think, when you see a border and you give somebody a passport, it's like, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm not one of them. I'm not.
Right. Right. Like,
And it's like, yeah, yeah, you are. And your family, like my family, were able to cross the border when there was no border.
Sure.
And it was like 5 cents to just, you know, to pull over. And now it's like, you know, nobody had to do it a legal way because there wasn't in the early 1900s, you know. So I kind of feel like it is fuckery, I guess you could say. That.
Yeah.
But I am particularly mad at like my own culture who are like not standing by. And we're the largest group of minorities in America. And it's like we're powerful.
Yeah.
And still we can't get it together. So
yeah.
Very mad.
No, I agree. It frustrates the hell out of me because I'll talk till I'm blue in the face about like, you know, what white people in this country are doing. But at the same time, it's like, what the fuck are we doing to help ourselves? You know what I'm saying? We're also our own worst enemies at the end of the day as well. You know, like a lot of this stuff wouldn't be as bad if we could just unite together on, you know, on really fighting back on what's happening to all of us. You know, it really is frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, I think now, especially with Texas, they've restructurized voting power.
Yep.
So now it's like they've stripped Latino communities of their power, really.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's gone from bad to worse. And I think Texas particularly is a scary place when it comes to the politicians, what they are doing now.
Yep.
And with the abortion law and stuff. So it's like, I feel like there needs to be a collective coming together of our people to really press against the powers that be, because eventually we won't have power at all. So I really don't know what the solution is. There's never time for immigration reform. That's how I feel it.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's
right, we'll get to that next administration.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They'll tell us if they're on the campaign trail, they're going to get to it, but you know, then they run out of time and resources, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating. But let's kind of end our time together on a more positive note, and we'll celebrate something good that's happening in our community. So we're gonna do that in a segment I do here on the show called Mi Gente. Let's take a quick break though, and then we'll be right back.
Mi Gente.
All right, so as promised, we are going to have some positivity here on this episode. I want to talk about somebody who's in Hollywood making some great strides, and that would be Leslie Grace. There's been some really cool things for her. She's actually going to be Batgirl in a movie for HBO Max, which is incredible. I mean, it's great to see that. We now have like a Latina playing a role that is not just specifically centered to be a Latina, right? It's like it could be any race, and they picked the Latina, which is beautiful. And then also there's the remake of The Bodyguard, which is actually being done by Matthew Lopez. And in this project, it's actually for Warner Brothers, so it's for a major studio, and it's being told that he wants the protagonist to be a Latina. And a lot of people were jumping for Leslie Grace to do it, and either way, I think it's just an incredible thing to kind of see this sort of representation in a place like Hollywood where we've been often left out.
I love Leslie Grace. She's amazing. She's gorgeous. It's like she's a vision. So
it's
putting her as Catwoman. I read that actually. It was like amazing because it's about time, right?
Like, right.
We've been here since the beginning and we're barely getting like a foot in.
Yes.
And I like when they dream up. I remember having this discussion with a friend of mine who's British and they were like, you know, I was like, why can't we have like a bunch of Latinos in like a sci-fi thriller? Like, you know, this South sci-fi thriller with these kids. I forgot what it's called with 11 Stranger Things.
Okay. And yeah.
And then he said like, well, you know, it's because people want to reminisce on what it was like back in the 80s, but it would have been a bunch of white kids. And I thought, well, shouldn't we dream up new like ideas for kids in all of the communities that's like diverse, because America's diverse. So when her being Catwoman is like, it's like when Halle Berry was Catwoman, it was huge. It's huge.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's also because a lot of times it feels like in Hollywood, we're told that the only stories that are universal, like that are able to be connected to everybody, it has to be a white family that, you know, that is like being reported on, right? Like if it's a white family, okay, it has something for everybody. But like if it's a Latino family or traditionally a black family, that is like being their story being told, oh, well, that only like exists because for Black people, that only exists for Latin people, you know? It's like our stories because of how we look or our upbringing, like it can't possibly be universally told, you know?
Yeah, I think they're starting to see that we have a huge buying power. Like we make up like 30% of the tickets in the box office. So it's like we deserve to see each other in amazingly different roles, superheroes and, you know, dramas. And I hate the idea of pigeonholing someone because, you know, she got to play the narco, you know, or the...
Right. You can only play the stereotypical Latin role. Like, that's the only time we can insert you into a movie. You know what I'm saying? That, it's so frustrating.
Did you see The Tax Collector? Have you seen that movie?
I saw The Tax Collector, with Shia LaBeouf and all that. It was a little awkward.
Pigeonholing. Like.
Right. But it's okay for him to pretend to be, you know what I mean, a Mexican from Los Angeles. But, like, no, we can't have a Latino playing another role. Like, you know what I'm saying? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I think it's brilliant. It pushes everything forward because if a lot of people watch that because they love her, they watch it, it's just going to keep the funding going to our communities, the way I see it at least.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that, you know, anything like that happening and finding success just continues to prove, I think, a point that we've been fighting for for a very long time. Now let's end on what you have going on. I mean, you have so many amazing things happening. I know I talked about this. You just dropped the video for My Abuel. And I mean, just your sound overall, I love it because it's not what we would expect the quote unquote typical Latina sound to be, right? Like you are doing like sultry, smooth, like R&B. Which is generally, you know, commercially not what people are going to expect from a Latin, Latin-born artist. So, I mean, kind of talk to me a little bit about that love for R&B and I guess that calling to use that, to go that route, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a family that, like, had diverse, they listened to diverse things. And, I mean, I think when you grow up in America, you're used to R&B music and it's it is American and is African-American, you know, so for me, it's just, I grew up with it and I loved it. And of course, you know, in my area, everybody loves Selena. I love Selena.
Right.
But there's an expectation that you sing like Selena, that you be Selena.
Right.
And it's sometimes daunting because you can't break out of that or your expectations of who you should be. And I think that's been very, a bit of a struggle, but it's nice to, you know, try to hopefully give respect to the people I admire in the African-American community in R&B, you know, and diversify it, like intersectionalize R&B and our struggles, how we navigate those spaces. So,
yeah, I love that. And because I always say, I mean, you know, I was born here in the States as well. So like I'm two cultures, you know what I'm saying? I'm a byproduct of growing up in the New York City area during the time period I did, you know, and I have a deep love for hip hop as a result, but also I'm Puerto Rican. So like they're one and the same. I can't pick which one, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I have different influence in me that make up the person that I am, you know? So I definitely can relate to that for sure. Now, do you think that in today's day and age, it's harder or easier? Because I feel like since the whole Latin thing is like quote unquote trendy right now, right? You might have people trying to push you and be like, why don't you go like full blown in the Latin direction of like a Karol G or something like that? Like it's really trendy right now, you know? Like, do you feel that pressure or is it a little bit more kind of like everybody's kind of more open minded and not kind of pushing that on you?
No, I don't feel like anybody is pushing that on me. I mean, I could do it if that was like, but I just feel like it's not my thing. I think my Spanish is like super bad. So
mine is too.
You know, like I feel like I couldn't do that authentically in a way. You know, I can sing the old boleros that my mother grew up listening to. I love singing those.
Right.
But as far as like doing reggaeton or something like that, I just feel like I would be silly to do that. So. for me.
Yeah. No, I love that. It's good to hear that you're kind of, you know, embracing exactly who you are and not kind of going, you know, not allowing yourself to be washed away by some of the winds of what people probably try to say in this industry, you know, is like hot right now, whatever the case may be, you know, especially in R&B, because I feel like R&B in today's day and age doesn't get the respect that it used to, especially, and And maybe we could blame somebody like Drake, who kind of like interchanges rapping and singing, and like that kind of like has started off this whole trend of every person who would have been an R&B singer is now doing like this rap singy thing. but do you feel that way? Yeah, do you kind of feel that way? I feel like Miguel is one of the few like purebred R&B artists that like is actually genuinely relevant in today's day and age like that.
Yes, I agree. But he comes from like an old industry. I think like now there's so many avenues that you could be. Like you could be electronic R&B, alternative R&B. And now there's like, you know, they call it intersectional R&B. And I think that's really nice. And it's not as conventional as it used to be, but it also is not as like, maybe we're just nostalgic about what it used to be. Like, you know, with like music or these older.
Right. Sade, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe there's nostalgia. I feel like I'm biased. I feel like it was also a different industry.
Right.
I think it's like it's more open, but also the standards have also lowered. It feels before, no one could be a musician or an artist if you didn't know people and have a support network or good management or whatever. And now everybody can do it, but that means like everybody can do it.
So, right.
Sometimes I feel like people mistake like beauty and like the seduction of like a woman or whatever over talent. And I sometimes feel like that makes me feel sad. Right. We're more than our bodies, right?
Right.
And you should still sing like just a little bit. But right.
You should possess the talent of singing just a little bit if you're going to call yourself a singer. that is a great point.
But, you know, I mean, it's a whole new world. So
I feel like, you're right. It's a whole new, listen, there's good and bad. I think there always is going to be. I think that the amount of avenues that you have as an artist these days is incredible. And that's a beautiful thing. The ability to build your own fan base organically and not kind of have to sign your life away if you don't want to is a beautiful thing. But yes, you're right. It does open the floodgates for a lot of just really mediocre things that are just like of the moment, you know, and aren't necessarily going to stand the test of time like some of the artists that we talked about just now.
But that's the way, right? So
right. Yeah, no, it's true. So all right, so what can people expect from you? I mean, what do you got going on when it comes to releases? Are you kind of just sticking with like the single thing? Are you looking to put out an album? What's the plan?
I'm releasing an EP come next year. So we'll be releasing a whole bunch of different singles off the EP with some more visuals, so that's something to look forward to in the future. 2022.
Yes. Love it.
Out of the pandemic. So
I love that. Yeah, hopefully we are long out of the pandemic by then. All right, where can people follow you on social media so they can check out all you got going on?
You can follow me at Florecita de Luna on all my socials, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Beautiful. Listen, Flores, it's been great getting to chop it up with you and hear your viewpoint on everything. Hopefully we get to do this again sometime soon.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right, and now it is time to hear your perspective, of course, in our Ask a Gringo segment.
Ask a Gringo!
I have a question.
All right, so for this one, and of course, anybody that's new here, at DJ Dramos on Instagram if you want to be a part of these conversations. But I felt like the most appropriate question to ask my audience, and it definitely was shown by the responses that I got, was in response kind of to this Demi Lovato story about not calling extraterrestrials aliens because it's offensive to them. So I asked my followers, are we as a society getting too woke? And why? So let's read a few of the responses that I got. I like this one from @cross_soul. They said, you can't speak without offending someone. Society should be more sensitive, but it's too much now. And I think that's a great point. I think, yeah, there definitely was room for us to grow and still is room for us to grow in our sensitivity towards certain issues. Now, with that said, I think that what tends to happen is that there is like this overcorrection, you know, and people kind of are overly trying to be inclusive. And I don't mean that in a way of like, oh, we should be excluding anybody. I just mean like you're taking it a step too far and kind of thinking about things in a way that is just not real or realistic. And Demi Lovato being a perfect one, because at this point, we can't confirm that extraterrestrials are even, you know, in existence. So to claim that it's offensive to something that we can't even confirm is real, is taking it a bit too far. Now, if there was a point about calling like immigrants aliens, and yes, I think that is an offensive term because you're essentially pointing out the fact that people don't belong here, essentially. But it is a very tightrope to walk, a slippery slide, if you will, about how much do we kind of have to correct of our past behaviors before we begin to go too far and we're just kind of not making sense anymore and we've gotten away from the whole reason behind this idea of like inclusivity and wanting to make sure we're sensitive to people's beliefs and feelings and things like that. It's definitely a fine line, and it feels like we've crossed it with this Demi Lovato story. At Renegade Ray Rose 15 said, yeah, it's so annoying. Everyone is woke but highly misinformed, including myself. I think that's a great point as well. I mean, I think that so many people have opinions, and listen, we're all justified to have opinions, right? Like, there isn't a barrier to entry for that. I'm a big proponent of all of us should be able to speak what we feel. With that said, a lot of us don't know what the fuck we're talking about. You know, like, a lot of people are just basing information off of like headlines they see on social media. And honestly, even we've seen this being proven about misinformation that is happening across social media platforms. You know, like, at the end of the day, TikTok is not a place to get your factual information from. And then to go and start an argument with somebody over something you saw on TikTok doesn't really make much sense. Like, people be like, I could send you a link, and they send you the link, and it's like some guy in a room on YouTube and is saying, you know, some like unfact-checked information, you know what I mean? And listen, I'm not going to go ahead and say our modern media has been incredible at delivering us concise and clear news, but at the same time, at least they bear the burden of being sued, right? Of being held liable because they are a company out there on the airwaves. There are certain standards and practices that come along with being a journalist and being on TV. I mean, we even saw it with Fox News when they were pushing this whole, the big lie about the voting systems with Donald Trump and all that kind of stuff, and how Dominion voting, machines were messed up. And they had to kind of change their narrative a bit because Dominion was suing them, was going to sue Fox News. And like, they knew that they didn't actually have any real proof, so they had to change their opinion to save themselves a giant lawsuit. So at least there is a bit of a checks and balances system when it comes to the media. The internet itself is the Wild West, and a lot of people read, you know, the stuff on the internet and then take it as facts and then kind of go on this tangent of having, a highly misinformed opinion. And in some cases, that's a highly misinformed, overly woke opinion. This one from the homie at Jade_Durrani. She said, yes, so woke, we all need some sleep. And then she continued on, people are so quick to call out and cancel folks that there's no room allowed for a diversity of thought. The speed at which information is fed to us as a society does not match the digestion that we as individuals need in order to chew on things for a bit. Everyone just wants to be first, seeks bragging rights, or cancel someone so quickly for the sake of I told you so, that people forget about basic comprehension, context, and nuance that are important for a healthy debate and forming well-thought-out opinions. She also goes on to say, except canceling R. Kelly. Fuck that dude, which I agree with. I agree. I think information is coming at us so quickly. We're all just quickly kind of coming up with these knee-jerk reactions, and we're not taking the time to have a well-thought-out kind of unemotional reaction to a certain situation, you know? It's kind of like we're spewing out the first thing that comes to our mind, and that's like the final opinion we end up going with instead of really processing things and hearing things from multiple sides. But I also think it's like we live in this culture where people feel that there is like no room for sort of potentially like, you know, amending your opinion or your viewpoint, or at least just kind of agreeing to disagree. It's like we live in this world where there's just like two sides as far as like, I'm right, you're wrong, right? And both people are kind of going into each situation saying that, and there's no middle ground to kind of like figure out what parts of each argument make sense. It's like we skip the part or ignore it, ignore the part that what we're thinking is just an opinion, and we just kind of immediately jump to it being a concrete fact that cannot be changed. And that's part of the issue right there. And then I also just think you have some people who like are, you know, slightly off in some of their thinking, and then use these moments as an opportunity to sort of lump every situation in with like whatever conversation is popular at the time. And it's kind of like what Demi Lovato is doing, where it's like lumping something in there that is really just like nonsensical. And it also, as a byproduct, ends up taking away from like actual real movements when people are talking about, you know, offensive terminology that is really harmful to a group of people, you know. And then she kind of goes and it makes it a whole joke, and everybody kind of points out exactly what we're doing right now. Like, I think the world has gotten too woke. And it ends up now taking away again from that whole, the whole movement of actually trying to be inclusive. And it becomes silly, and people are going to be turned off from even hearing that opinion now. So to summarize, basically all of the arguments that I was getting, nobody said no, they don't think we're being too woke. Everybody agrees that we are living in a too woke society. And it's almost just become like theatrics at this point. I don't even think people believe half the shit that they're saying. But yeah, that's Ask a Gringo for this week. Thank y'all for chiming in at DJ Dramas. You want to be a part of the conversation. And now with that said, let's quickly wrap things up with a little bit of conclusion, Stu.
Time for conclusion, Stu.
So I'm going to quickly kind of get through this because I feel like Flores and I's conversation really got super deep on a lot of these things, and I'm happy that it did. I think all of y'all and myself are on the same page when it comes to this over-wokeness of current society. So my quick conclusion, Stu, let's just go through some of the stories you said. A-Rod and J-Lo. Listen, A-Rod, this is karma for fucking it up with J-Lo, essentially. If the rumors are true that he allegedly cheated, listen, this is what you get, and it's going to follow you around for a bit. And I do not envy you, and it further proves that I do not want to be a celebrity in any shape or form to have all of my information out there like that. Demi Lovato, too fucking woke. J Balvin, man, we have to have a conversation with him, and I'm not calling for cancellation, but one has to ask, what the fuck is wrong with you? Make it make sense. And like, it's one of those things that like, you're like, damn it, man. Like, I really fucked with you, and I really am trying to find a way to make it make sense that like you are just ignorant to these things. But at this point in 2021, man, like, in what world did you think it was okay for you as a white passing man to walk around with black women on a leash as if they were your dogs in a music video? And this to me is just a case of too many yes people standing around him, not enough people who actually give a fuck about his image and give a fuck about what's right and wrong at the end of the day. So let that be a lesson for anybody. And that's just like one of the main lessons I always point out of like, you do not want yes people to be around you, because if they are, shit like this happens and you end up having to answer for it, and rightfully so. And then everything we're seeing with the border, it is just incredibly sad. I think it is disgusting to think that a sector of the population in this country really don't value certain human lives and really can't find empathy for them, even though all of our ancestry is that of immigration. And actually, the people that they're trying to push out have more rightful ownership to this land than anybody else. But that's a topic for another time. But yeah, I just think a lack of empathy. And then on top of that, us as Latinos, once again, not coming together when we should, not proving that we care, you know, this idea that, well, we made it, you got to figure it out on your own. Like, no, that's not how things work. That's a fucking terrible way to live life and to function. And I hope that our generation is the one that begins to kind of get out of that terrible mindset and understand that we owe it to each other and our community that when we find some success, that we go back and help others in their journey. And on the positive side of things, is Hollywood finally turning around to a degree? I mean, listen, Leslie Grace is getting some great looks right now, as well as man, even just the idea of a classic role like The Bodyguard, them saying that this is going to be for a Latina. I mean, it was amazing when it was Whitney and a black woman starring. It's incredible to kind of pass that torch now to another group of people who aren't highly represented in mainstream Hollywood culture. So I think that's huge, and that's absolutely incredible to see this growth and this movement. So yeah, salute to the people actually doing the real work behind the scenes. It is not going unnoticed. And lastly, I have to say, you need to check out the music from Flores. And I'm not just saying that because she was on the show, but her voice is absolutely incredible. And she just makes really just amazing baby making music. So if you are trying to get yourself in the mood, you want something to put on when you're getting sexy with your significant other, highly, highly recommend just throwing on her music on your favorite streaming platform and enjoying yourself. And real quick, I want to give a shout out to Brenda, who's just been a really huge supporter of this podcast. I feel like since day one, I know her and her husband are battling COVID right now. I'm hoping that you guys are on your way to a speedy recovery. I know they have a small child at home as well, which makes it that much scarier. So I just want to make sure, you know, y'all know that you are in my thoughts. And I'm wishing you guys nothing but the best and sending positive thoughts and prayers, you know, your way and hoping for a speedy recovery for you guys for sure. And with that said, thank y'all so much for tuning into another episode of the podcast. If you haven't yet, I would greatly appreciate you leaving a 5-star review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, maybe a nice little comment even. All that stuff really does help out our growth and us being able to pitch the podcast for different placements and things like that. Those of you who have done it, I appreciate you more than you'll ever know. You guys are incredible. The support is so, so amazing. So thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you. And everybody who keeps tuning in each and every week, every episode, I appreciate y'all. I hope you liked this kind of new format with the Thursday Trends episodes. I really like being able to kind of have some of these discussions about our community, the current events that maybe you're familiar with or that you're not, and being able to do it with somebody else from our community. It felt really good to do that today. So looking to continue that. And man, that's it. I'll catch y'all on Tuesday with a brand new episode. Have a great weekend. Peace. Life as a Gringo is a production of the Michael Dura Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.